Yeah. Hey, welcome to the What Are Poems podcast. The only poetry podcast not seeped in pretension. I almost couldn't remember it. I was just frying some pork chops, which is apropos because today we're going to learn about, think about, reflect on this fella Baxter Black, who just passed away at the age of 77 years old. NPR contributor, and, you know, the kind of guy I should have known a whole hell of a lot about, but knew nothing about. This guy's an American cowboy poet, and he's also a vet of large animals. He writes 30 books on poetry, fiction, novels, children's literature, and does commentary, and he's sold 2 million books, CDs, and that old sentimental favorite, DVDs. Have you watched Hacks? I was watching Hacks. Spoiler for you. Fast forward 30 seconds if you didn't watch season 2 of Hacks. At the end, she sells DVDs. I couldn't believe it. I thought, my God, look at that, making DVDs relevant again. I know people that have such large DVD collections, and there's not much they could do about it. They got to wait 40 years, until it's like a niche thing again. And then you can go to like, a holdout armory where there's kids in leather jackets selling DVDs. Criterion Collection will be hot again. I miss the special features. Sign me up. Those things were like heroin for me. Back when I was a kid who just started to get into film, I listened to those directors' commentaries all day long. I love them. My favorite director commentary is the Ben Burtt commentary on the Star Wars DVD releases in about 2006, 2007. And he talks about the sound design and how he made Chewbacca make noises and what R2-D2 is and how he would just record himself like throwing trash down the... You guys know what the Ewoks are? The Ewoks voices, nub nub, jump jump. The Ewok voices are a drunk Ukrainian woman telling stories about her life, sped up like four times. So Ben Burtt, the sound designer for Star Wars, goes and finds this woman. She doesn't speak a lick of English. He feeds her tons of booze. She tells her life story. He cuts it into pieces, and that's how we got, Nub Nub, Chub Chub, Bub Bub? The Ewoks, you remember them. Did you like the Ewoks? I did. People don't like things. People don't like, the minute the Ewoks were invented, there was already a guy that was mad about it. Like, are you kidding me? I always thought they were kind of rustic, kind of interesting, you know? You know who should love the Ewoks? Like George W. Bush, I bet, is a big Ewoks fan. Or Reagan probably loved the Ewoks. These are creatures that, you know, they're in trouble. They pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. They're fighting back against an oppressive empire with logs. And using the land, I feel like that's like a, you know, Reagan would be like, those brave Ewoks. I'm Ronald Reagan, and I love those Ewoks. Probably towards the end of his life, he was probably sitting there in his living room. Nancy, remember the Ewoks? Could you imagine Ronald Reagan, I know, losing your mind at the end of your life isn't funny, but Ronald Reagan losing his mind is a little funny to me. But I could just see him sitting in a recliner, sun trickling into the house. Nancy, what the hell is on the TV? What the hell are those things, Nancy? Then she's like, she'd be like, Ronnie, that's the Ewoks, Ronnie. Who are the Ewoks? Nancy, who are the Ewoks? Oh, look at these brave sons of bitches. Is that a good Ronald Reagan impression? I don't know. Nancy, is my microwave meal finished? Nancy, where are my slippers? Those little bears are on the TV again, Nancy. Fuck Reagan. He could have saved thousands and thousands of lives, but he wouldn't admit that AIDS was happening. This guy was evil. I watched the Reagan documentary, half asleep in bed with one eye open. Every time my blood would be boiling. I almost wanted to shake my girlfriend awake. Say, Sarah, can you believe what he's doing now? He's killing people. Man. Ron Reagan. That's what he is. Yeah, beyond that, I'll just tell you about my yard, and then we'll get into the poetry. My yard is a mess. You know, I feel like the borough, the city of Wilkes-Barre is going to come and say, you got to cut that yard. You got to cut that yard. We're going to give you a fine for the way your yard looks. So I was trying to cut it today, and I get home from work, and I'm sweating because it's hot. And you guys know I hate to sweat. So little fat boy me is out there in the yard trying to get the lawnmower to start. I can't get it to start. I finally get this thing started. I start cutting lines. I'm feeling like victorious. I'm like almost like cheering that this is going right for me. Then the whole fucking thing just like the bottom part, the fucking screw blows out, and the part that you push down and you yank, that thing's freaking like blown out. The thing starts like puffing black smoke. I thought I was gonna catch the whole lawn on fire. I come inside sweating. I start pounding a Deer Park water, a 20 ouncer. It's leaking down the side of my face. I see my door's ajar, so I think my cat got out, Elliot, the rambunctious one. So I go outside and I'm yelling, Elliot! Elliot! And people are looking at me like, that guy doesn't have a kid, you know? So I'm on the side of the house, and I'm pushing through the trees there, and I'm getting smacked in the face with branches. And then black clover, there's gray and black clover, the stray cats we feed, they had like 10 kittens, which I've seen Herman too. I named one Raptor. You know, I've done my work on the kitten front. So I'm walking through these bushes, and these little kittens are running all around. I'm going, Elliot! Elliot! And so then I'm like, oh, great, he's fucking lost. I was going to cook this pork chop dinner, have a nice night tonight. Now I'm covered. Sweat is burning my eyes. I can't find my cat. I've stubbed my toe. I got hit in the face with a branch. There's kittens running around. I don't have time to name them all. I can only name the ones that I already named. So then I come back inside, you know, just sad, and there's Elliot just sitting there. He was in the house the whole time. So it was like zero to, is that what the Fast and the Furious movies are like? Do you go in, do you sit down, and all of a sudden, here we go, here's The Rock, here's Vin Diesel, here's Ludacris, and they're racing through some sort of forest, and there's cats at their feet, and they're furious, and they're fast. The Fast and the Furious. Nancy, I love the way the cars go. Hey, when we come back, we're gonna get into some poetry here. Okay, folks, hang tight. Shut off. Hey, I'm freaking back. The Ewoks. I was wrong. It wasn't a Ukrainian woman. It was a Russian lady, but it was a certain ethnicity, and how do you pronounce that, Grimes?
Kalmyk Oirat, people of Russia.
Thank you, Grimes Robot. That is how you pronounce the language that the Ewokies was based on. He got an 80-year-old woman of Grimes.
Kalmyk Oirat, people of Russia.
Ethnicity to speak tales of her people through her native tongue, and then recorded the sounds with various actors imitating various portions of the recording. African and South Pacific languages also influenced Ewokese. In audition, Bert and actor Anthony Daniels, C-3PO, later used and even invented their own terms in the language when doing the scene where C-3PO is reciting the story of the Rebel Alliance efforts to stop the Empire. So, that's great.
Goopa noopa. Goopa noopa. Manatoto. Mechanicho.
What's he saying, Nancy? What's he saying?
Give me a wonder.
Nancy, I can't. I don't. Nancy, I don't know what he's saying.
Imagine Reagan also being paranoid because it is based on a Russian language and he was so scared of the Russians and the communists, so he would be watching Star Wars and hearing the Ewoks speak.
It's the commies, Nancy. It's the commies.
What the fuck? Hey, so the guy's name is Baxter Black. I was on the way to work yesterday, 5 a.m., got myself a coffee. Wished I got myself a cooler, and I hear this obituary, and it's poet-based, and I'm going, you know what, we got to do What Are Poems next week? That's what this is going to be about. So here's from the obituary from the agricultureweb.com, agweb.com, the Farm Journal. This guy's a cowboy. Baxter Black, the veterinarian turned cowboy poet, storyteller, and philosopher of rural life in America, died Friday, June 10th, at the age of 77. This is by Greg Henderson. In January of this year, a Facebook posting by his wife, Cindy Lou, revealed Baxter was suffering from blood leukemia and a form of dementia. He had been in hospice care at his home in Benson, Arizona. See, now I feel terrible for doing all the Reagan dementia jokes. That's how life is, isn't it? As soon as you think you're doing a funny bit about Ewoks and Reagan and dementia, then the guy that you're going to learn about that you like ends up having dementia. So no matter what, folks, in life, you end up being a complete ass when you do anything, is how I feel. Baxter was born, let's go to the facts about this fella. He was born in a Brooklyn Naval Hospital in Brooklyn, New York, but grew up in New Mexico. In high school, he became the Future Farmers of America president, the senior class president, and lettered in wrestling 1 year. He began riding bulls and rodeos while in high school and continued riding throughout college. Black received his undergraduate degree at New Mexico State University and completed veterinarian school at Colorado State University, graduating in 1969. He was a practicing veterinarian from 1969 to 1982, specializing in large animals such as cows and horses. During the last 2 years of his career, Black gained popularity through public speaking with over 250 appearances, and this, his career as a poet, began. Black also hosted the public television series Baxter Black and Friends. He wrote a column, spoke on the radio, and had short segments on RFD-TV and the Cowboy Channel. He resided in Benson, Arizona with his wife, Cindy Lou, where they had no cell phone, television, or fax machine. One of his philosophies of life claims, in spite of all the computerized, digitalized, high-tech innovations of today, there will always be a need for a cowboy. When asked what made him decide to become a cowboy, he said, "You either are or you aren't. You never have to decide." In late 2021, Black retired from writing and speaking engagements because of health issues. Black died on June 10th, 2022, at his residence in Benson, Arizona, at age 77. Black's radio career began as a chance occurrence. During his newsworthy local event, he submitted some of his work to a radio station. Black specified in an interview, "It was the year Yellowstone caught on fire, 1988. We were listening, and they didn't have any coverage to speak of. And it was a huge deal in our life. It was a huge deal in Colorado, where I lived. And the sky smelled like smoke, and I had this big, tumultuous poem about range fire. So I sent them this. I sent it to the public radio. And 2 or 3 days later, I got a call back." During the 2002-2009, he was regular commentator for National Public Radio's Morning Edition. Baxter Black on Monday, the weekly syndicated radio program, was on the air since 1989, and his weekly syndicated column, On the Edge of Common Sense, was carried by more than 150 publications. Well, that's the man. Baxter Black. Hey, here's a poem by Baxter Black. This is called Take Care of Your Friends. Friends is a word that I don't throw around. Though it's used and abused, I still like the sound. I save it for people who've done right by me, and I know I can count on it ever need be. Some of my friends drive big limousines, own ranches and banks, and visit with queens. And some of my friends are up to their neck in overdue notes and can't write a check. They're singers or ropers or writers of prose, and others, God bless them, can't blow their own nose. I guess being friends, I don't have nothing to do with talent or money or knowing who's who. It's a comfortable feeling when you don't have to care about choosing your words or being quite fair. Because friends will just listen and let go on by those words you don't mean and not bat an eye. It makes a friend happy to see your success. They're proud of your good side and forgive all the rest. And that ain't so easy all the time. Sometimes I get crazy and seem to go blind. Your friends just might have to take you on home or remind you sometime that you're not alone or ever so gently pull you back to the ground when you think you can fly and no one's around. A hug or a shake, whichever seems right, is a high point of giving, I'll tell you tonight. All worldly riches and tributes of men can't hold a candle to the worth of a friend. That was Baxter Black's Take Care of Your Friends. I'll be back, friends. Hold tight. You know, now I'm just thinking about dementia. Now I'm just, like, sad. Something's happened to me. I remember when my grandmother had it. I remember going to the... I hadn't seen her in a while, and I went to the nursing home to see her. And we were good buddies, you know. We were old pals at this point. My brother used to lock us in the basement. Because, as she would say, he was a little Dickens. So he'd lock us in the basement, me and my grandmother, and we would play this... You know, my mother went to the store and got me an apple. My mother went to the store and got me a banana. And we would get, you know, all the way to Z, and the lady would get a zucchini at the store. Then we'd start pounding the door and saying, please let us out, please let us out. But it was like the steroid era in baseball, so he was probably watching a game and wouldn't let us out. But I remember she always had Fig Newtons or grilled cheese or tomato soup or one can of Miller Lite. There's just things that food, usually for me, that you take and you remember somebody with. So I was sitting there in the nursing home with her and we went to the vending machine and I opened up a container of Fig Newtons. And we were going to share them, but she didn't have an appetite. Because a lot of times when people are getting the dementia, they don't seem hungry. It's like they don't want a sandwich. They just want to look at it. You say, would you like a sandwich? They just say, okay. You bring them a sandwich. It sits there. And you don't worry yet because they're still out and about and they're with you. But, you know, the sandwich is sitting there and it starts getting weird. But anyway, she wouldn't eat any of the Fig Newtons. And she always would eat Fig Newtons. So I remember she didn't know who I was. She didn't know what a Fig Newton was. And I remember how hard that was. So I'm sure it was hard for Nancy Reagan, too. You know, I'm sure Ronald Reagan had a favorite snack. And I'm sure it was hard for the whole Reagan family when he couldn't remember it. You don't know. You know what I mean? You don't know what you're saying sometimes. I guess everything's in the moment. So, if I offended anyone with my Reagan dementia joke, I go ahead and apologize for it, even though I did think the idea of him watching Star Wars was funny to me. Here's another poem from Baxter Black. Don't sell your saddle. It's called Don't Give Up on Your Dreams. Take time to see them through. There is no magic recipe. Hard work makes them come true. Even when you're struggling, your friends will stick like glue. Don't ever sell your saddle. Your dreams won't give up on you. Baxter Black. You wonder, the poetry is certainly simple, right? It's certainly not the most complicated stuff. It's, but there are these, it's like those truisms, you know? It's those blunt things said by someone that people assume is simple, but is actually terribly intelligent. There's all kind of figures like this throughout the American story, and I'm sure the world story, but it does seem like an idiosyncratic thing with the cowboys in the Old West or the old prospector and that whole thing. You know, you got a cowboy hat and a mustache and a lasso. You're supposed to be one thing, but everyone can, you know, sit down and reflect and think and remember things and be engaged with the world no matter what kind of hat they're wearing, be it baseball cap, cowboy hat, or even a bowler cap. So, yeah, quick one today. Just a couple of poems by him, couple of thoughts about him, and next week we'll be back with something, I don't know, who the hell knows? We'll see where the week takes us. I'll be back with a poem of my own. Remember, you can submit your own poems to the podcast at whatarepoemspodcast@gmail.com. I'll be back with my poem. So my poem was written this afternoon because I was furious about cutting the lawn. It's called I Wish There Were No Lawns. They say people before rich people... Wait. Jesus Christ. Okay, they say before rich people there were no lawns. It was a bunch of stuffy, caviar-eating, can-afford-perfume-for-their-assholes ghost people from an old photograph types who insisted that we have lawns. And they only had lawns because other people didn't have lawns. And they only had lawns because they did not attend to their lawns. Yes. It was a bunch of broken, hot-dog-eating, can't-afford-perfume-for-their-assholes ghost people from an old photograph types who had to fix these lawns. Every time I cut my lawn, I think back onto history. Every time a Zyrtec isn't enough and whatever is growing out there gets in my nose and my eyes close up and I need my inhaler, everything that occurs, I picture a man in a bowler cap who's got a poor guy on his hands and knees with a pair of fucking scissors cutting his lawn down to a miniature height so he can better do things like lawn bowl or have women sit in circles and chairs drinking hot tea and saying how wonderful it all is. It's like 1,000 years ago, Jeff Bezos was a guy in a bowler cap and he was saying, cut my lawn. Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk in a bowler hat can go hail a cab to Siberia or some sort of ancient sounding insult for the kind of man this was who invented the lawn. That's my poem about lawns. Like I said, you can submit your own poems to the podcast or what are poems at, wait, you can submit your own poems to the podcast at whatarepoemspodcast, Jesus Christ. You can submit your own poems to the podcast at whatarepoemspodcast@gmail.com. Did it, Gert. Gertie. She's proud of me. And until next time, folks, peace and love, beef jerky.